Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here. Good to see you all. You know, I just got to say this. I'm so thankful, so thankful to be here today. There's so many other places we could be, so many other things we could be doing, but nothing is more important as being in God's house. Amen for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Verses 1 through 3. Today the message is God, my deliverer. So Psalms chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. If you're able, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And we are so thankful for the power that your word holds, that your word can change our lives and our hearts. Your word goes forth and brings back an abundant harvest. God, as we go through your word today, speak to our hearts. And Father, let the seeds be planted that need to be planted and let them grow within our lives. Let us learn from you, Lord, exactly what you're trying to show us. And Father, as I preach this message today, let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit. And Father, do not let me say anything that would be from my own words or my own flesh. For we ask it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get really into the message today, I want us to look at the heart of David and who David was. Now, all of us know that David was a man after God's own heart. We have to know that and establish that first. Secondly, I want you to know that David was just, he was a regular human being like you and I. And thirdly, David served the same God that you and I serve today. How many of you, looking back at David's life, would point David out and say, he's got greater faith than I have? Anybody ever say that? Well, I'll tell you what, we all can have that same kind of faith. And I want to point this out. David was 15 years old, a young shepherd boy, and he conquered Goliath, the mighty giant, because he served God. He believed in God. And David had also killed a lion and a bear by God's power with his bare hands. So David had a relationship that was very special with the Lord. And I want to share with you what that was. It was a devoted love. And I'm talking a very deep spiritual love that David had for the Lord God. Now, David was like you and I. David was a human being, and David had faults. And we know that because although David had conquered many things that God had set him out to do, we also know that David had sin in his life. We know that because David committed adultery. He lusted, and he committed adultery when he saw Bathsheba bathing. And well, we know what happened from there. And he had her husband Uriah killed, and they had a child together. And David, it seems like his life, sometimes David was really up here on the mountaintop, and sometimes you read David's down here almost panting to be dead in his life. He was such in despair. So I want you to think about David in this. David was a human being. He was called like you and I are called today. So the first thing that I want to look at is that David, in the first verse, David declared his love for God. He let it be known how strong and steadfast his love was for God because he believed in the power of God. The Bible tells us that God is love and in him is no darkness. And God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But David had a trust. There was such a love there that David had a trust and faith. And that's what I want to challenge you on today. I want to challenge each and every one of you to cultivate in your life, and it's got to start within your heart, not up here in the brain. But you need to cultivate a love in your heart like David had for God. And I believe that starts by getting to know God by reading his word. I don't know about anybody else, but when I read the Bible, I feel like there's an intimacy between God and I. The Lord is speaking to us through his word, and the power of his word changes our life. It changes the atmosphere that's all around us. Now, you and I love each other a lot. I hope we do anyway. Does anybody not love anyone in here? Don't raise your hand, please. Just keep that to yourself. But I'm sure that we all love each other. I know that I love each and every one of you deeply. I really do. But you know what? I love God first and foremost. I love God more than I love my wife. And I want to say this, I love my wife very much. She means the world to me, but nothing can take the place of the love that the Father has for me. He's got a love for me that his love says, in your loneliest and darkest times, I am there for you. When you're bewildered, when you're confused, even when you're happy, when you're joyful, I am right there for you. When you're scared, I'm the one who removes all of your fears. When you don't know how to stand, I'm there with you when you have to kneel and pray. And in the times of praise, the Lord God is right there in our times of praise. And he is building us up and he is encouraging us. I wish I could have seen David's face when he got before the Lord and spent time in praise. Because I can guarantee you this, David probably spent a lot of time on his knees with his face bowed to the ground and his heart lifted up so high into heaven. And he was seeking God with all that he was. And I can guarantee you this, David also wrote in the Psalms, he says, "O Lord, my soul pants for you, just as the deer pants for the water. So my soul thirsts for you, O Lord." And that's where God wants us to be today with our love for him. God wants us to chase after him. God wants us to know him on a deeper, meaningful level. Because the reason is because God wants to do a work in each and every one of your hearts and lives and in mine. And God wants us to grow and expand. Now, I've grown and expanded over time from what I eat. That's not what I'm talking about when I say growth and expansion. I'm talking spiritually, within our spirits. God wants to increase us. God wants to show you what he can do for you. But you know what God's needing out of us first? God needs love out of us. God wants us to come before him with an empty heart. Now, I'm going to try to get through this message today. I stood in Daniel's room last night in ICU. And as he laid there talking to me, he was gasping for his breath. I was holding his hand and I said, "Daniel," I said, "I want to tell you something. I said, I've always had a love for you. And you've always had a special place in my heart. And Daniel squeezed my fingers a little and he said, "You've always had a special place in my heart." And he said, "I love you too." Now that felt great, but you know what? There ain't nothing as greater as getting before the Lord and hearing God say, "I love you, my child. When I have failed, when I have failed, He's picked me up every time. And He's looked me in the eyes and He said, 'My child, I love you.' Do you know what that means? I mean, you've got to feel the Lord. For so much of my Christian life, I didn't know what that was like until I presented myself as a living sacrifice before God. And I said, 'Father, I need to know you. I need you to work in my life.'" And over 2 years ago, I was in a situation where I needed the love of the Lord to really shine down in my heart. And He's carried me through so much. But David declares his love for God. That's the first thing he does. Declares his love for God. And I hope that every single one of us will boldly go up on the mountaintop. And you don't have to go on a mountaintop, but you could be in a valley and you can declare your love for God. In verse 2, David recognizes God as his strength. He says that He is my rock. A rock is a solid foundation. And you need a solid foundation in order to build something. Before you have a house built, they have to determine that the ground and that the foundation that it's going to sit upon is strong and solid and that it will support what it's going to carry for years. A builder is not going to go in there carelessly and just start doing something because he wants to. And this applies to our Christian life. If we're going to build our Christian lives on a strong foundation, we have to build it on God. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to please listen carefully what I'm about to say. Don't build your life on what others say or what others think you ought to do in the Christian walk. You build your Christian life on what God says, on how God is leading and how God is guiding you. Because when you start building your house upon the solid rock, it's going to stand. The winds may come up against it. The storms of life may blow, but your house will always be in order and your house will always remain steadfast and strong. The devil's going to try to destroy your home. And I'm not talking about a house that you would live in. I'm talking about your Christian walk in life with the Lord. The devil will try to come up against it, but if you will stand firm and you recognize God for His strength, you will always stand. Now we had a tornado go down through the Lake of Egypt twice now, and yesterday I saw two of my friends, a husband and wife, that live on Power Plant Road at Lake of Egypt, and right across from their house, twice now, tornadoes come by, and they're good Christian people. Their house, they had a little damage, Fred told me, but their house never got destroyed. So I want to say this to you. Sometimes your house may feel a little damaged. It may look a little damaged, but you stand strong in Christ and you build your foundation on Him and you will always stand. You will be able to stand even in the wicked times. He is recognized as a fortress because God protects us from all danger. What do? When there's a violent storm, you go and you find shelter. Back many years ago, when I was in college, I was working as a paramedic part-time. And A friend of mine who worked as one of my partners at the ambulance service, we were coming back from Evansville, Indiana on I-64, and we'd been hearing on the radio about a storm brewing and coming toward the east. Didn't think that it would impact us until we got up Highway 64 a little further, and we saw this big cloud stretched all the way across. It looked like a garden hose laid out across, and it was just a rotating forward like this. And all of a sudden, we got to a place and we saw people pulling over under an overpass. And you know why they were doing that? They was getting under there for shelter. Some people were even getting out of their vehicles and hitting the ditch. Because once we looked up, that cloud went from rolling like this and hit the ground, and it took off as a tornado and went through a field. So there was danger nearby, but we were shielded. Well, we were sitting in an ambulance, and that thing could have been pulled off and blown across the field. But we pulled up underneath that interstate, that overpass, and we pulled up underneath it. And when we got under there, you know what it was? There was quiet and there was peace under there. And that reminds me of abiding in the power and the fortress of my God. That when I am in a storm, I can go to the Father, and He is the one who covers me and shelters me. He says, come in here to my fellowship, child, and I want you to abide here with me until the storm blows by. And once the storm has blown by and I see that it's okay for you to go out, then I'll send you back out. Because that's what we did. Now, once that tornado got by us and the coast was all clear, we took that ambulance and pulled it out, and we took off and we made it safely back to Odin, Illinois. And we scared to death. You talk about shaking you up when you see a tornado that close to you. But God will always be our fortress. He's also our deliverer. God has the power to save and rescue us from our foes. God can take care of any situation in your life. Did you hear that? God can take care of any situation in your life. When the enemy comes up against you, when people turn their back on you, when people walk away, when loved ones die, when there's sickness, when there's financial distress, when there's trouble in the home, in the home itself or in the family, whenever the devil comes up against you with a full force, you have to know that He is your deliverer. But He wants you to trust Him by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please Him any other way. You can try working yourself to death to receive, you know, a pat on the back from God, but that ain't going to do you any good, because it's not by your works. It's by your faith. And when you have faith in the Lord God, and when you trust in Him, He will take care of whatever the situation might be. David had incredible faith in God. God was the source of David's strength. It wasn't the person on the right or the left of him that was praying with him. That wasn't his source of strength. It was God Almighty. And if David had went up against Goliath under his own power and under his own doing, I guarantee you that David would have been destroyed. And I want you to look at this too when it comes up about a foe. When David went up against Goliath, he was just kind of like, you know what? This guy doesn't scare me. He said, you might come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now, it wasn't the sling, it wasn't the stone that brought down his foe. It was the power of God in David's life that brought down the giant. See, David goes forth And oh, I could you imagine this little short shepherd boy, little skinny thing, no military training, no he. I mean, Effie, he didn't know how to fight. He had tended sheep. And I guarantee you that that all of Saul's army was laughing at him because he's going out there unprotected. He said, no, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And I could just see him with that sling just a going to town. It would have been like old Esther on Sanford and Son when she get all, you know, she get wound up. And he'd let that rock go, and God's power drove that rock into his enemy's head, and the enemy fell. And the Bible says that David drew Goliath's sword and cut his head off. And it's time that you and I start fighting the same way. When your foes rise up against you, know who your strength is, and it's God the Father. Know that your strength comes from the Lord. And if you are up against a foe and you trust God, don't back down. Don't be afraid. Don't run away. Don't go hide and expect God to take care of it for you all by. God is wanting us to be front and center following Him in this battle. Because when we do, every foe will be defeated. And I know, and I can tell you what, there's been times I felt like the foe was going to run me over. There was times I looked at situations and thought they were hopeless. But God came through every single time. Lastly, God is our source for everything. God is worthy of our praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We've got to praise God all the time. And do you know you can praise God by serving in your church? You praise God by singing. You praise God by serving. You praise God by lifting your voice to Him and magnifying and glorifying Him in this life. You praise God by loving others. You praise God when you read, when you pray. You are praising God. You are serving God in a mighty way. And if He is worthy of our praise, then we should be doing it more often. We live in a free country. We don't live in a communist country. So we should not be holding back. I mean, when your feet hit the floor, there's going to be situations in life that you're not going to like. You're not going to be enjoying places that you're at. But that's not what it's about. Where you are planted, you are to bloom. And how do you bloom? You let God pour the water out upon you. You let God water your soil. God plants seeds in your life. And when He waters them, an abundant and a beautiful harvest will always happen in your life. God acts as a stronghold. He wants to have a stronghold on us. Don't let the devil have a stronghold on you. The devil's defeated. And I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. If the devil's dumb enough to get himself kicked out of heaven, then why would you follow him or listen to him? Why? If he's ignorant enough to go before God the Father and say, I'm going to exalt myself up above you, because he wanted all the angels, he wanted all the praise and the glory. If he's ignorant enough to do that and get kicked out of heaven, then I guarantee you what, he's probably nothing but this little bitty thing. You ever got a little tiny rock in your shoe and man, it just caused you great angst and pain and you couldn't wait to get that shoe off? I know when we go walking, sometimes Janine might get a little rock in her shoe. And she'll say, we got to stop. I got to get that rock out. And I've had them in my shoe. And man, they hurt. Sometimes you think that little bitty rock's going to bring you down. And then when you empty the rock out of your shoe, you're like, that's what caused me all that pain? I say that to say this. One day, I wonder if we're going to actually get to see the devil as he's being kicked off into the lake of fire. I wonder if we're going to get to look at him, and then we're going to say, is that what I let bring me so much pain in my life? Did I really let that thing cause me all the fear? Did I let that thing stop me from serving God? I don't know if it'll be like that. This just kind of me doing a little thinking here. But God wants to have a strong hold on us. Because if you have the Lord holding on to you, the devil can't pluck you out of his hand. And he is our shield. And he is our shield for the ones who trust him. Do you trust him? Do you trust him day by day? Last night, as I was in the hospital, Daniel looked at me. I said, you may pray for you? Yes. He said, but don't pray for me. He says, pray for Linda, his wife, because what she's getting ready to face. Boy, my heart just really overwhelmed in me. But last night when I went to the hospital, I went to witness to Daniel. And this is what he told me. He said, I'm okay with Jesus. I'm going to heaven. He told me about a dream that he had. Linda said he never dreams, but he had a dream. I'm not going to go into it, but he had a dream, and in that dream, something happened, and he said it scared him, but he got right with God. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm ready to go to heaven right now. He said, I'm tired of this sick body I've been living in. Well, what I'm wanting to say, let me quit chasing the rabbit around the tree now. What I want to say is Linda is trusting God with the next steps after Daniel goes to heaven. Now, that's one kind of loss we'll all experience at some point. There's other kind of losses in our life that we'll go through. It may not be human, it won't be life, but there's things we're going to go through. And you have to know that He is your shield. He is your buckler. And if God puts a shield out in front of His child to protect you, then you know He is not going to lift that shield to let you be hurt. Now, He's going to sometimes let us go through things to open our eyes and teach us a lesson. Because how many of you know your parents loved you? And your parents would say, I'm disciplining you because I want you to learn something out of this. Not because I hate you or anything like that. But if your parents loved you and they discipline you, well, what about God the Father? We're going to do wrong and we're going to have to be disciplined in order to learn a lesson. So here's what I want to say to you. If we start loving the Lord and following Him and being more obedient in our words and our actions and our deeds, and if we'd stay out of trouble, I think we wouldn't have to be chastised as much by the Lord. David recognizes God's absolute worthiness and His greatness. And David knows this from past experiences in his life. Just a few of the things I mentioned. Even though David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery and had a child and had her husband killed, do you know that when David was repentant, that God forgave him? And do you know that God still picked him up from his past failures and still used him to do great things? So it doesn't matter what you've done wrong in your life, quit kicking yourself in the behind about what you done wrong in the past. Quit kicking yourself and get up, pull up yourself by the bootstraps and say, I'm putting on my armor because I know where I was before, I know where I am now, and I've seen the hand of God deliver me every single time. Because David saw God's faithfulness and power. Now, I tell you this, God has a lot of power. God is faithful. And if He's faithful and powerful, then He's able to do anything in your life, no matter what it may be. God will always rescue us from our adversaries. You know what? If you get anything out of this message today, I just want it to be this, that you get serious. See, Daniel, I said to him last night, I didn't point the finger right at him, but I said, I just wish people would get this serious before they get to this point. But I said, I'm so glad you got things right with the Lord. I'm so glad you're going to heaven. I'm excited that He is. Because when I go to heaven, I'll see Him there. I'll be with Him. I get to see my buddy again. I love him. Oh, I love him. But know this. It's time to get serious. Don't wait. It's time for us to quit having a mouth that spews hate, a mouth that spews gossip, a mouth that spews lies or deceit. Your mouth is to be used to praise God and to witness and lift up others around you, not tear them down. Does God tear us down with His words? No, He doesn't. God is an encourager and God lifts us up. And He expects the same out of you and I. And I know there'd be people who would say, well, you don't know how I was raised or what kind of background I come out of. That doesn't matter. We're all adults. Some of us are. Some of us are still youngins. And I want to tell you, youngins, listen to your folks. Because I'm telling you what, it's very important that you do. Now, I'm not preaching a sermon at you, but listen. Later on in life, your kids will be adults and you'll be looking back saying, I wish I'd done what my mom and dad said I should have done, or I wish I would have listened a little better. I wish I hadn't said this or that or acted this way. Don't let your life with God be like that. Don't let your life with the Lord. Don't go saying, well, I wish I'd never spoken that way to the people in church, or I wish I hadn't gotten angry. Go back and read Psalms 18, 1 through 3, and memorize it and live it and declare your love for the Lord. He'll change your life completely.